around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome everyone to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, April the 25th, 2022. Time is swiftly passing us by. I do want to encourage you to begin to look for us on Rumble. I invite you to go and find us on Rumble. Rhonda has put up a video, if I understand, about how to get to Rumble. We're making some adjustments on our website. We're making adjustments in how to find us. And the videos, both radio, Mondays and Tuesdays, and also the television videos, which follow the week after they're aired on television. Let me remind you again about our television ministry. We're on direct television, channel 376, each Tuesday night at 10 p.m., each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I encourage you to share this information with your friends. Also, Dish Network, channel 262. If you have Dish Network, you can find us on channel 262. Again, 10 p.m. Tuesday nights, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings. And we are profusely humbled by the response that we're getting. We're praying about God opening a door for us to go on Daystar. I please ask you to pray about that with me. God is doing some things here in the end time, and I want to be in the middle of it. I want to be doing what God has willed for me to do, and I want you doing the same thing as well. I want you to be doing the same thing as well. So we're trying to, as I said, make some adjustments on the website, make it more easily to find the videos, both weekly radio programs and also the weekly television programs. And if you're ever without and struggling, just go to Blog Talk Radio. There you'll always get the audio, and there's no editing. You'll hear all the music on Blog Talk Radio. So the songs that we play here, we're able to play them on Blog Talk, but because of YouTube and copyrights, they won't allow us to air anyone's music in any capacity. I hope this will help you. I hope it will be instrumental in allowing you to navigate. I'm not the sharpest tool in the drawer when it comes to computers. Admittedly, I struggle with all of that. So many times I look at what we're doing and I try to simplify it because of old people like myself. 67 years of age, you don't catch computer technology as swiftly, as easily. But that's just because I was born in 1955. We've been teaching on the end of the age and the harvest. And I'm humbled by the many, many positive response we're getting from many of you regarding your knowledge as it grows significantly concerning the time of the end and what we look to transpire. But before we get back into that today, I want to play a song by Pastor Tommy Bates. He pastors a church up in Kentucky. I don't know exactly which town it is, but his name is Pastor Tommy Bates. And he's gone back. He's pulled out an old, old song, After While. And I hope this blesses you today. You know, after a while, it's all going to be over. Now, we're not there yet. But that's the hope, the second coming of Christ entering into the millennial kingdom with glorified bodies. No sickness, no diseased bodies in the redeemed. Now, there will be human beings that will be on the earth without glorified bodies, and they will no doubt still have anomalies, aberrations, because death itself will have not yet been destroyed. Death will be destroyed after the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. But for you and I, the blood-bought, the redeemed, the church triumphant, we'll never know anything again about sickness or disease, anomalies or aberrations in our earthen clay jars, our old bodies, because they will be glorified just like the one Jesus Christ has. I hope you'll enjoy the song immensely today. After a while, it'll all be over.
God will fix it all right after a while. Oh.
after a while, it'll all be over. That ought to make you want to shout today, praise God. We get so discouraged with all the negativity that swirls around every one of us. I'm going to magnify the Lord. David said in Psalms 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise God all the time, he said. Psalms 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed from the enemy, amen. We've been redeemed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Did you know you were in the hands of the enemy? You were in the hand of the enemy. Even Job was. Job 2:6, God said to Satan, he is in thine hand, but save his life. I preached a message many, many years ago, man and the hands of the devil. Ooh, what a heinous, painful, arduous, difficult place to be. But God also added something to that. He said, but save his life. Save his life. In other words, I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do to Job. Of course, we know that he did. He smote him with boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. He smote Job with everything that he had. God said, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. The Hebrew says, only save his life. Now, I'm still a student of the Word of God. I do not decree myself as a theologian. I still am a student. But I've often wondered, what would have happened if Satan would have crossed that line and taken Job? But he didn't. But I wonder what God would have done. Well, I suppose God would have raised him from the dead. Excuse me, because he says, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God can do anything. After a while, it'll all be over. We've got to endure until the end. Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We have to endure unto the end. Matthew 10:22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You have to endure to the end. And I know it bothers people when I say this, but we're not at the end yet. However, that doesn't take away the fact that times will not become more tempestuous, more turbulent, more arduous here in these last days. We want to pick back up from last week in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid it, and 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. When we left off last week, I referenced Mark chapter 3, verse 6. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, Jesus, how they might destroy him. How they might destroy him. Make no mistake about it. Here in the end, politicians will also seek to destroy Christianity. Let me say that again. Here in the time of the end, politicians will seek to destroy Christianity. You must remember, in the time of the end, there's going to be a convergence of government and religion. It's almost fully blown, but not yet. But once the debut of the Antichrist has been made and that revelation has been given to the church, the body of Christ, I preached this for 25 years. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, verse 6, and verse 8. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Did you see the word there, revealed? Verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I want you to get this today. I haven't emphasized this in quite some time, but I've been preaching this for over a quarter of a century. This is going to be a revelation, and the revelation will be for the church, those who know the Word of God. I said, those who know the Word of God. This information, this detailed information regarding the word revealed, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, 6, and 8. You see the word revealed. That epistle, that letter, was written to the church at Thessalonica. You hear me oftentimes allude to the Pauline epistles, how they are very distinctly different than the Gospels. Now that you're born again, now that you're saved, now that you're washed by the blood of the Lamb, now that you are sealed by the Spirit of God, you need doctrinal teaching. And this is when men begin to tamper and mess with the Word of God because they are advocates of their own personal doctrine and ideology. I was taught things that were wrong. You've been taught things that are wrong. How do I get out of that? You got to go back to the Bible. You've got to go back to the Holy Writ. You've got to go back to the Word of God. Don't let some theologian, well, they're not even theologians. They're not even theologians. That was a bad statement I made. They are not theologians. They are men of ideology. I remember, 35 years ago when I was still in the Church of God, they were going to make some adjustments and the practical commitments. We had our declaration of faith. Even the Church of God says they believe in the premillennial second coming of Jesus Christ, first to resurrect the dead in Christ, second to catch away the living, and we all shall meet the Lord in the air. I'm a premillennialist, meaning I believe before the millennial begins, Jesus will come. I am not a pre-tribulationist, though, because Jesus never taught a pre-tribulation rapture. Men teach that. But they were talking about discussing and changing some of the practical commitments. And so they had a tenet. They had a phrase they were going to use, and it said, the Bible's idea is thus and thus and thus. And I stood up and I said, no. The Bible is not an idea. The Bible is the inspired, written, holy Word of God. It's not an idea. And that bothered me. And I spoke out against the word idea. I said, take that out and say the infallible, immutable Word of Almighty God. See, I've got Scripture to prove that point. See, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? God does not lie. God is immutable, meaning he doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I said, we need to take that word idea out because the Bible is not a book of ideas. Sadly, they left it in there. You see, men have ideas. God is so sovereign. God is everything exists and consists, and everything is held together by God. He hung the world and the cosmos on nothing. The earth is tilted on its axis. We have the spring fall equinox. If the earth's axis tilted a degree or two, either way, it would burn us up or freeze us to death. Who monitors all of that? Nobody but God. And because God is sure, he placed it, he fixed it, and it does what he commanded it to do. But men come along with personal interpretation. Everybody will tell you, not everybody, that's another bad statement today. Most people will tell you in certain denominations, when Pentecost came along, everything changed. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. Now, they'll tell you it changed. But what happened was God gave us the baptism and the Holy Ghost. But salvation has always been through Jesus. That he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by me, my personage. My personage, Jesus says, I am the one that paid the price. Even in the second advent of Christ, when the Israelites are coming to Christ, they're going to look at his nail-scarred hand and say, who did this to you? You did. You did. Meaning, I am the only way you can be born again. I am the only way you can be saved. Anybody that believes anything other than that, your faith is misplaced. Why can't you embrace in its totality Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Now just stop right there. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Does Paul elaborate on anything else? Does Paul talk about communion? Does Paul talk about water baptism? Does Paul talk about joining a church or joining a denomination? Paul says absolutely nothing about anything but grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Does Paul say you need to do something else? No. Men say that. But the Bible doesn't teach that. You see, you have to rightly divide the scriptures. So, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why would Paul make that statement? Why would Paul make that phraseology in that manner? Because Paul knew, because of the Judaizers, men would come along and would say, no, that's not enough. You've got to do thus and thus and thus and thus. Thus, Galatians 4, 9, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements where you desire again to be in bondage? You see, people today are living in bondage through men's ideology. I haven't forgotten my point today, how politicians will seek to destroy Christianity. But when politics get in the church, I said when politics get in the church, this is when you get corrupt. The church is not political. The church is righteous through the blood of the Lamb. The church is not political in any mindset. But the Pharisees went after Christ, partnered up with the Herodians, how they might destroy him. Now, you're going to see the same thing. The real religious world will partner up with the Antichrist. They will come together. Read Revelation chapter 13. It's there. I believe the Pope will be the false prophet. I believe that for years. But the Catholic Church wields unfathomable power in politics even today. Even today. I remember November of 1995 when Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated. John Paul went to the funeral of Yitzhak Rabin. Yitzhak Rabin was the prime minister of Israel, November of 1995. At the funeral, John Paul tells Leah Rabin, Yitzhak Rabin's wife, he told Leah Rabin, he said, Jerusalem must become an internationalized city. It must become the capital of three faiths. And he named the faiths Islam, Judaism, Christianity. Now, I'm not talking about Catholic Christianity. I'm talking about Christianity expressly through the vicarious work of Jesus Christ. There was a usurpation. You know, people will tell you that the Apostle Peter was the first pope. You've all heard that, I know. But here's the problem with that ideology. The Catholic Church teaches the pope cannot be married. But in Matthew chapter 8, we see that Peter was married, for Jesus healed his mother-in-law. So somewhere from that point onward, they begin to finagle and change things to accommodate their ideology. And I see this so much. And I through the Word of God and through the Holy Ghost, God has helped me to correct a plethora of things in my own life and my own understanding, comprehension, doctrinally, regarding the Word of the Lord. The church is by no means being discipled. I've never seen so many weak, anemic, emaciated, so-called Christians. Christianity today is so polluted, diluted, and contaminated, it begs description. You know, people will curse like sailors one minute, and the next minute they'll tell you they're Christians. I don't believe that. We're told in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearer. When you're taking God's name in vain and using every swear word you can because you got upset with something, does that ever minister grace to the hearer? No, it doesn't. Now, I know the legalist out there and the self-righteous out there will say, well, you're stretching it. I'm not stretching it in any capacity. Remember the last thing Peter did? The third accusation, surely thou art with Christ, for thy speech betrayeth thee. What does he begin to do? Curse and swear. Curse and swear. Is that not what a lot of Christians do today? But if I preach against cursing and swearing, somehow I'm bigoted, I'm self-righteous, I'm doing something wrong. But I'm not. I'm just telling you, what you're saying, what you're doing is grievous to the Holy Ghost, and you keep grieving the Holy Spirit of God, he will leave you because you left him. Men's ideology has corrupted the Word of God so terribly. I quote it all the time. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. We have untold corruption in churches, denominations, organization, teaching and preaching things that are just not accurate, neither factual. I had a Catholic lady one time. She attacked me to no end. because I mentioned the great reformer, Martin Luther. She said, that sorry piece of trash ran off with a woman after he left the Catholic Church. Well, you know what he done? He got married to make sure he didn't commit fornication. See, she that was attacking me, it's okay for her to be married. See, Martin Luther couldn't. But because he left the Catholic Church, now he was some kind of a scumbag. Well, if he read Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, you're justified through faith, and therefore we have peace with God. He went on over there to read where Paul said they would forbid to marry. Then he also read there in 1 Corinthians 5, it's better to marry than to burn. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at the Word of God. See, here's the secret, clean hands and a pure heart. I know there are people who have motives. I said, I know of people who have motives. They're not pure. They're not clean. Their motives are absolutely sinister, vile, and wicked. Yes, they are. See, we have no agenda here at the Voice of Evangelism. I'm one of the only ministries you probably, I don't know if there are as many as five worldwide that say we will not ask for offerings. We will not ask for tithes. We will not ask for money. Why am I like that? I want my hands to remain clean and pure till I die. After I die, I don't know what will happen to this ministry. I don't know who will take over or anything of that nature, because I don't have anybody right now to do that. But my point is, it could change after I die. But while I'm alive, we're not going to waste time on radio or television saying, send us an offering, send us a tithe, text us, do this. I saw somebody the other day, they had so many ways to give to them. And they're not even a legitimate ministry. They're just an individual. They're just a person. But my point is, begging, 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 begging. Yes, we have on our website ways for people to give. And people appreciate, thoroughly appreciate our honesty and our integrity. Because we don't spend half the radio time or half the television time soliciting. We spend our time preaching, decreeing, declaring the Word of God. Politicians will commingle with purported Christians, and they will seek to destroy true Christianity. Ask Nancy Pelosi, is she a Christian? Ask Joe Biden, is he a Christian? Ask crying Chuck Schumer, is he a Christian? Ask Lindsey Graham, are you a Christian? These people will tell you yes. But where is the fruit of their Christianity when they say, well, it's okay to abort babies. It's okay to have same-sex marriage. It's okay to advocate and appropriate transgenderism, which is, there's no such thing. You know, the best way to destroy a person who is an advocate of transgenderism, tell them anatomically to define a man and anatomically define a woman, both outwardly and inwardly. Let's just leave off the outward. But if I was to define a woman, I would say she has ovaries. She has a uterus. She has a monthly cycle. She ovulates. Now, internally, define a man. Well, he has no uterus. He has no ovaries. He has no cycle. You see, they want to make you believe a lie, and if you believe the lie, you are in danger of searing your conscience. I saw the other day where a school teacher was being dealt with in an evil manner because she's not going to call a he a her or a she. She said, my conscience won't allow me to do that. I thought, that's because she has a good conscience. There's no leaven in her heart. See, this is what's happening to the military. I mean, we're teaching I should say, training, brainwashing the military into gender identification and how you address it ethically. But again, if I said define a woman anatomically, both inwardly and externally, and a man the same way, they won't address you. They won't talk about that. So they want to talk about this, your brain. Well, you see, your brain is messed up. And as I said to my doctor friend probably a year or so ago, he and I were talking, and I said, you can have all the body-altering modifications and surgeries and replacement hormone therapy you want, but a man's brain will not tell him to do those things, to ovulate, et cetera, et cetera. Why? His brain is not wired for that. God didn't put that in him. I mean, this stuff is crazy. A mother rabbit, let me give you a little education here. A mother rabbit, when it's time for her young to be saved, you know what that mother rabbit will start doing? She will start pulling fur from her body. She'll take her mouth and she'll pluck fur out of her body. She's going to build a nest to have those infants in there. I've never seen a male rabbit pull fur. Never. When you live on a farm, you understand a lot of things in life. But that female rabbit, she's going to pull fur to help build a nest for those little rabbits when they're born. Why? Her brain is wired to do that. Now, the male, it's not like that. And they're trying to convince you and I every day of something that is immoral, something that is ethically wrong, and something that is mentally skewed. It's just totally mentally skewed. And here's what's happening. This is why we only have one verse in the parables here in Matthew 13. We have this one verse, Matthew 13, 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. No matter how small, no matter how small the measure of leaven, when you put it into the dough, when you put it into the meal, it leaveneth or it ferments the entire lump, and you can't get it out. Before Passover, they had to get leaven out of their houses. Why? Because leaven is a type of sin. So they had to have unleavened bread for communion or the Lord's Supper. The wafer cannot be the typical piece of bread. As a matter of fact, I was in a church one time, And the guy actually was using leavened bread doing communion. And I thought, you're violating the word of God. Leaven ferments the entire lump. False doctrine and heresy can pollute an entire church or even pollute an entire denomination. Oh, that's not possible. That's just impossible concerning my denomination. All of the Methodists out there listening to me, you know I'm telling you the truth. Your denomination has split. Prior to the split, your denomination embraced sodomites, lesbian pastors, same-sex marriage, etc., etc. That is an absolute violation of the Word of God. So that leaven has gotten into the entire mix. Now, how did they get out of that? A faction in the Methodist Church said, we're leaving, we're getting out of this. And you might say they're starting over. A new lump, and not allowing the leaven to be put into it. Now, to prove what I'm telling you, how leaven can destroy an entire church or an entire denomination, here's what Paul said to the church at Corinth. You remember, they were Gentiles, and it's believed it was a stepson, but he was sleeping with his father's wife. In other words, he was sleeping with his stepmom. So here's what Paul says to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Your glorying is not good. You see, the Methodists began to glorify, extol Lot, lift up praise, magnify sodomy, same-sex marriages, sodomite pastors, lesbian pastors, and I have no idea what a lesbian pastor is. I can't define that. Your glorying is not good. Paul is saying, this must be dealt with or you're going to ruin the entire church. This is what he's saying. You're going to ruin the entire church. Know ye not that a little leaven, or a little fallacy, or a little sin, leaveneth or ferments the whole lump. Paul said, you're fixing to corrupt the entire church because you're allowing sin to find a place of residence. Let me go on. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Purge it. Jesus talked about pruning in John 15. Purge it. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. I keep telling you, you can't get it out. It has to be disregarded and thrown away. What the Methodist denomination has done, or faction in them, they've pulled out. Why? That they might be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. See, when they come out, they're unleavened. They're taking away the fermentation. They're taking out the leaven because they are really redeemed and cleansed. Let me go on. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I just shared with you how the Passover, before you had Passover that week, you got to get the leaven out of your house. You got to remove it. You got to remove it. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven or with fermentation, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, the unleavened bread that you partake of in communion represents the body of Christ, which is pure and holy and unadulterated truth. That's what that is. Like I said, I saw a guy use leavened bread, had yeast in it. Again, Paul says this to the church at Corinth. Now, Paul is addressing, the leaven at Corinth was sin. The leaven at Galatia was false doctrine. Again, Galatians 5 and 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But see, they were trying to bring Judaism back into the work of Christ on the cross by grace and your faith and corrupt it with Judaism. That's why they were called Judaizers. They're trying to convert you not to Christ, but convert you to Judaism. This is not really hard to be understood. But you see, men do it through their false ideologies, their false teachings, and their false doctrine. All false teachings, all false doctrine corrupt the church, the body of Christ. And David Wilkerson made a statement years ago, and I will never forget it because it was profound. He said, the church keeps coming out of the church. In other words, there's something happening, continually happening, pulling out, pulling out, pulling out. Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her plagues. You see, the wrath of God is going to come upon that fermented, that leavened church, that leavened organization. The wrath of God is going to come upon it. The true church, the true body of Christ, is not appointed unto God's wrath. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, He comes in flaming fire and taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's such a thing as a pre-tribulation rapture, how are all these people in the earth going to get all of this gospel knowledge? Because I hear them say it. Not one Christian will be left here. So all you're going to have is heathens and pagans and backsliders and vile, wicked, fermented, leavened people. But notice what Paul said. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, He comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the church will be here, and there are going to be tares in the church, and those are the ones that obey not the gospel of God. I'm disturbed. I know people tell me, you are mentally disturbed. I'm disturbed that the Bible is so clear and pristine concerning truth. And you give and you deliver up all the truth you can concerning fallacy and heresy, and they will still spurn you, castigate you, ostracize you, blast you, scoff you, because they just can't be right. They just can't be wrong. But they are wrong. But they're not willing. When I wrote my first book, The Second Look at the Second Coming, taking a second look. Look at it again. Look at the Word of God again and see if it says what you are saying it says or what you've been taught. It says, I will never forget. And this was only probably 7-8 years ago. And I taught Matthew 24 in 1995 or 96 while I was still pastoring in Charlotte, North Carolina. I taught the whole 24th chapter. It took me a whole year. 52 weeks. I spent 52 weeks, if I can remember back that long. I counted all the times the word "and" was used. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I went through there and I counted the word "and," A-N-D. I think it was 52 or 53 times. But here's what I told the church. I said, now I'm going to teach Matthew 24. When you see the rapture, stop me, point it out to me, and let's discuss it. Well, when we got through and we taught all of Matthew 24, all 51 verses, we got to the end. They said, we didn't see it. We didn't see the pre-trib rapture. I said, because it's not there. But I remember, as I said, 7 or 8 years ago, reading again, Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want to emphasize, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Who did God take away in the days of Noah? He took away all the wicked in the earth. But notice what it said. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And here's the clincher. There shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, and the other left. So let's look in the days of Noah, who did God take away? He took away the wicked. But see, they'll tell you, no, we know in Noah's day he took away the wicked, but when he comes this time, he's going to take away the righteous. No. Because Matthew 5 and 7, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit what? Who's going to inherit the earth? The righteous, the meek. That's who God is going to allow to inherit the earth. Not the wicked, but yet we're told that. I think I said Matthew 5, 7. Matthew 5, 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The earth is our inheritance. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all them that dwell therein. This is God. That's Psalms 24, verse 1. Leaven, and I can't overemphasize this, leaven destroys truth. Leaven destroys accuracy. Leaven will destroy the whole church. I said leaven will destroy the whole church. Leaven will destroy an entire denomination. Now, they don't think it's destroyed. They don't believe it's destroyed, but it is destroyed because it has leaven in it. Now, there will be those who will be in that organization. There will be those in that denomination. There will be those in that church that still remain wheat. Because Jesus warns us, do not try to separate the tares from the wheat. Let both grow together. Let both grow together. And in the time of what? The harvest. I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You might say there are two gatherings, one for the fire, one for the barn. I don't really have the time. I got to pick this up tomorrow. I don't want to get on it now. Wine. I'll briefly mention it. Wine has fermentation in it, doesn't it? Doesn't all beer, wine, liquor, whatever, champagne, whatever, to get the alcohol content to make you high, it must be fermented. It's got to be fermented. That's fermented is what makes you drunk. Now, I know some of you out there probably like I was before I came back to the Lord in 78, but I drank my share of liquor. I didn't drink beer. Beer didn't do what I wanted it to do, and I'm not going to drink 24 beers to try to get to a place when I can drink a pint of liquor and accomplish the same thing, a pint versus gallons. But see, that alcohol now begins to affect the mind, one's thought process, one's conservatism, one's common sense thinking. A drunk always thinks he can do anything better, but he can't. He only does it worse. Alcohol causes young women to lose their inhibitions, their awareness, their consciousness of who they are and what they are and how they are to preserve themselves until they're married. But see, alcohol breaks that down. That's that fermentation. That's that leaven. That's what's getting into the body and messing it up. Now it's messing up the mind. I should be reserved. I should cover my body. I should not wear that. I should not dress like that. I should not be risque in any capacity. I need to keep my wholesomeness. But see, the alcohol, the fermentation begins to corrupt the person, and what they know is wrong, they somehow begin to justify it. See, that's what leaven does, just like the church at Corinth. They were justified. They were glorying. Paul said, your glorying is not good. The Methodist church has allowed same-sex marriages, sodomite preachers, and lesbian pastors. Again, I have no idea what a lesbian pastor is. That's like transgenderism. It's the most stupid, asinine, jacked up verbiage one could use. It's not true. It doesn't exist. Ooh. And to think that some remain there. Paul told the church at Corinth, you got to deal with this, folks. You got to get it out. You don't destroy the whole church. You don't destroy the whole body. That he said, you're going to let that little leaven destroy the whole lump, question mark? Know ye not that little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You see, people don't like me because I tell the truth. They don't like me. Most ministers and ministries don't want anything to do with me because they don't like how conservative I am and adhering to the word of the Lord. I mean, just you don't deviate, you don't oscillate, you don't vacillate. You stay right there and you stay on point. See, I've heard so much garbage twisting scriptures. You know, when Paul there in 1 Timothy 3 is talking about the office of a bishop, must be the husband of one wife. And they say, well, that's one at a time. But yet, when a woman is deemed a true widow, 60 years of age, lodge strangers, wash the saints' feet, she must have been the wife of one man. Not one husband, one man. So when I read that years ago, I understood God's not going to make it more stringent on a widow to receive tithes and offerings and funds from the church. He's not going to make it harder on her than he would the man that's going to administrate those funds, would he? One at a time? I'm not here to castigate anybody that's been married before. I'm just telling you, we've got to look at the Word of God and don't allow leaven to ruin and destroy our lives. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. We're going to pick this back up.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Lankford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.